Hey folks, who writes the rules in your organization? Who writes the unwritten rules and who communicates that to folks when they come on board? That's the subject of a new initiative called Firefighter 3, and we've got a couple of guests in the studio to talk about that on tonight's episode of Tailboard Talk, coming up right after this.
I'm Chris Young. No matter who you are or what you do, accidents can happen. But some are preventable if you put a spotlight on fire safety. Install smoke alarms on every floor and inside and outside of bedrooms. Replace any over 10 years old. Have fire extinguishers within reach and carbon monoxide alarms on each floor. And practice your escape plan. In a fire, every minute counts. These simple steps can save your life and the lives of firefighters. Join me and put a spotlight on safety.
Welcome to Tailboard Talk with Dane Carley, Craig Nelson, and Jeff Wallen. Every month we explore different topics of interest to you, our cohorts in fire and emergency services. So whether you sit back and listen, sound off on the message board, or call in live to be part of the conversation, we welcome you to join us in our mission to improve the fire service for those we serve and those we serve beside. Now coming to you live from the Great White North, this is Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Tailboard Talk for Friday, February 19th. I'm Jeff.
I'm Craig.
This is Ben.
And we've got a couple guests tonight that will be joining the show in just a few moments. But the days are getting longer up here in the Great White North, which is pretty awesome. So the temps are starting to warm up a little bit. They go up and down. But just the longer days start to fill me with hope that maybe we'll have a bright future after all. And everything didn't crash over the winter in the middle of COVID and stuff. So it's like, I think we got a chance now. We might just make it.
I think the rest of the country, for once, actually realizes the pain we feel up here. Because I know down in New Orleans, it was in the teens, and down in Houston and Texas area. Our thoughts and prayers are with all those people down there with all the power outages. Those are dire straits. And trust us, if anybody can understand, those of us that live up here in this part of the country can understand what it's like to be without power when it's that cold out. So, again, our thoughts are with you guys, any of you down south, and we certainly can relate because we finally went above zero today after 3 weeks below zero, the whole 3 weeks.
Crazy cold here. Sorry we had to share it with the rest of the country before we could get rid of it altogether. But I just can't imagine how many folks are dealing with just simple broken water pipe issues in their homes and stuff that just aren't designed for anything more than a few hours overnight. Yep. Every fair once in a while that it might get a little bit below freezing. It's a really rough thing.
Especially as firefighters. It's kind of funny you mention that because that's the first thing that pops in my head. I have a brother that lives down in New Orleans, and I'm going, oh my gosh, their pipes. You know, they just aren't, like you said, they're not built for much below freezing, and they'll be all right for a little while, but you get into the teens, and that's hard freezing. So it's a whole different ball game. And I was talking to a couple other people, too, about, well, it doesn't seem like too bad. Yeah, there's some frozen pipes here and there. But the other half of it is as we know up here, the other half of them you're going to find out about when the temperature goes back above freezing because they're still frozen.
Just crazy. So, hopefully everybody gets through this, and it's on to brighter and better days in the spring. And as more people get inoculated against COVID, start to see a bright future moving forward. Getting back to the sense of normality here, I think.
Yeah. So, tonight we have some guests with us, and I'm looking forward to it because it's an upbeat topic, and I think, like Jeff, you're kind of hinting at it. We're coming out of winter, we're coming out of some bad storms recently, COVID's still kind of around and not giving up on us, so this is kind of a fun topic to talk about tonight, and so I think we'll just turn it over to these guys and let them go with it.
Who are these guys?
Yeah.
Well, I can lead us off. We kind of running on the Firefighter 3, building off of Firefighter 1 and Fire 2. And I'll turn it over to Matt here to kind of give some of the inspiration behind the idea and the concept. But really what we're building it towards is just simple ways to show mentorship in the fire station, outside of the fire station. And to steal a line from Andy from earlier, we're basically helping people be people. So with that, we'll turn it over to Matt, and he can hopefully share some of his insights.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me, guys. My name is Matt Hennessy. I've been a firefighter in Mandan, North Dakota for a little over 10 years now. Like Ben said, I coined this phrase about 10 years ago, calling it Firefighter 3, and it started literally as a joke that I just kind of had running, because I always kind of said, you know, Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2, they're great classes and everything, but, you know, we spend what percent, depending on the part of the country you're in, your call volume, you spend, you know, anywhere from 75 to 90% of your time in the station living with guys. And it was just little things, you know, like day-to-day stuff. And I would just kind of run across it and be like, Firefighter 3. I would just holler it out. Like, and it just kind of grew and grew amongst the other guys around here, because we would always just laugh. And then, you know, we even got to the point now where guys are like, oh, God, I got a great Firefighter 3 for you. You know, whether it's so-and-so did this, it's nothing, you know, serious. You know, I find the humor in everything, and it's not to be mean to anybody or anything, but I just remember, you know, whether it was doing ride-alongs when I went to school to be a firefighter, or my first day as a firefighter. And I've always, you know, said that, you know, your first day on a new job is always stressful. Now, as a firefighter, not only are you starting your first day on a job where it can be stressful, just the nature of the work, not to go down that road, but you're essentially moving in with a bunch of guys that you don't really know. And, you know, you can kind of just compare, you know, a lot of people, I say, you know, you spend a third of your life at the fire station. Well, you wouldn't want somebody you don't know just coming into your house and just moving in, you know? So it's little things like, you know, who sits where at lunch, what recliner does the captain sit in, who controls the remote? Like, it's just funny stuff like that that you don't really think of. But if you can kind of take the stress out of that kind of stuff, it will, I think, trickle down into, you know, the, you know, running calls, or their EMS calls or fire scenes, where, you know, you take that stress factor out of it. And whether it's finding the guy in your shift that can take the new guy and be like, okay, captain sits here, don't sit there. It's going to be an awkward conversation. You're not going to be in any trouble. You know, we do this for lunch. We do this. Here's what time whether it's workout or whatever it is, or, you know, just day-to-day stuff. Like, I know a common one that I run into, if a guy does a load of laundry and forgets his clothes in the dryer, it's like, well, we've all done it. So instead of just getting pissed off, taking his stuff out of the dryer and throwing them on the back table, I timed myself the other day, because it happened the other day. I timed myself how long it took. 58 seconds to fold his shirts. We work 48-hour shifts. Yeah, I can't remember the exact numbers. I did the math on how many seconds there are in a 48-hour swing. I think we can spare 58 of them, you know? It's just little stuff like that. The remote control is a one that I always find funny, because I always said that the remote control is like fire ground command. Senior officer gets it unless you're told otherwise. You know, just dumb stuff like that. But it's funny and it's true at the same time, I think, because – you know, it's just like, even when you're getting your EMT or your paramedic, you know, you can sit and read in the book all day long. You learn everything on the job. And the day-to-day stuff is something that's never discussed, you know, and you got to take your time to kind of figure out who you're working with, who gets up when, who goes to sleep when, you know, who does this, who sits where in the truck. And it's just, I don't know, that's where it came from. I kind of went on a little long, but it truly started as a joke. And then we had guys around here. Andy was the one that's like, dude, you got to make a list of this. This is hilarious. Like, and here we are, I guess.
So you've kind of explained it. Well, I'd like to have Andy introduce himself too, and just say a few words, if you don't mind, quick, Andy, and then talk maybe about what you guys have done with this then.
So my name's Andy Beck. I've been with Mandan City Fire since 06, and then I worked for the Forest Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Wildland before that. Matt and I just kind of by accident ended up on the same shift. And so I told him, you know, we probably need to do something with this, because it's probably something that can help people, and it's probably funnier and cooler than we think it is. And then I've known Ben for a long time and realized that he was probably a good person to bring on board, and so that's kind of how the three of us got together. So,
okay. Is one of you want to talk about then what you guys have done with it now, especially recently here? You've kind of launched some things.
Yeah. So we started an Instagram page at Firefighter3, just as kind of a place to put some pictures and kind of start discussing it. We've also done a podcast that'll be airing sometime this spring or early summer with Fire Rescue One, their Side Alpha podcast. And then Ben's done a couple of really great articles that he'll talk about in a second. Because at the end of the day, I always joke that Firefighter 3 is sort of like Mentorship Light. I told Ben that when we started, there's a lot of people that get involved with mentorship. And I think sometimes people are taken aback by it a little bit because they think it's a really big, serious topic. And maybe it's part of like a large program that the department started. But it doesn't have to be anything complicated like that. It can be really simple. And showing somebody how to be successful on their first day and to integrate them into the team a little more really is what we're after. I'll let Ben talk about that, and then I'll kind of explain it a little bit, how it relates maybe to kind of a larger goal within the organization to be able to share stories a little bit better.
So a lot of what we're trying to do, as Matt alluded to, was try to keep it light, keep it fun, find ways, because those are how we interact day to day. You know, we're not always on the fire ground. We're not always on an EMS call. It's the times that we're spending together in the station, in the truck, training, working out, all of that. So, bringing our new people into the fold and showing them how to form relationships with established firefighters so that we have, we can start building that trust in each other. So that we can work effectively on the fire ground, on our EMS calls, anywhere else that we might be responding to. In my article, I've related a new firefighter to a truss. So we're all very familiar building construction, what a lightweight truss is. When we run a new firefighter through Academy, we're essentially building them into a truss. There's some efficiencies there. They're learning the bare minimum to support the load that they're going out to respond to. What we want to do through Firefighter 3 then is start adding some weight or some girth to that truss and actually form a heavy beam so that there's more resiliency there in that firefighter when a large crisis happens. we talked about Texas, for example, with their weather. We've heard they've had a number of roof collapses down there because their buildings are not designed to handle the load of snow over a long period of time. Well, that's a crisis that's building up on those buildings, and eventually they fail. If we're building our firefighters out as only trusses and not building them out to a heavy beam, eventually they're going to fail, and we're going to see PTSD or at suicide or just them leaving the fire service, and we don't want that.
I think to take on to what Ben said, when we look at like new people coming in, we don't want them to kick out to the side. You know, we spend a lot of time hiring people and selecting them. We want them to become part of the group. And like Matt said, if we can ease that first day and we can make them more part of the team right away, you're going to go a lot farther than kind of the old school way in the fire service, which is like, let's hammer on the new people. You know, I went through that, so we're going to make them go through that. If we can not only integrate them into the team faster, but at the same time keep them happy and let them learn and develop and get better, we're going to help everybody out. We always say that if you can share stories, you know, we're humans are white stories. So if we can share stories, whether it's about who gets the remote or, hey, don't put anything on the bumper on the truck, I'll tell you a story about how that went bad one time. You know, that's a good thing. And then we can all learn from each other. That's the key, but the bigger picture of it is a goal for really any organization, whether it's fire service or any high reliability organization, should be to the point where we're really cool with sharing mistakes with each other and we're not trying to bury things. So if right from the first day we're sharing stories like this with people through Firefighter 3, or, you know, Henny said maybe this is something that a company officer can just hand to one of the firefighters. Maybe he's not good at mentorship. And, you know, he's old school. He can hand this to somebody and go, here, did you guys see this list? and you can all start joking around about the list, and all of a sudden we've told them all these things that they need to know, and they don't have to go repeat those same mistakes. And that grows up to the even more important mistakes where you're trying to save somebody's life, you know.
Well, and that's another thing, too. I mean, I work on a shift where I got a captain who's been doing this for 30 years. That guy can tell you how a pump and a tri, I mean, and he knows everything there is to know. I mean, and then I got Andy, who's one of the smarter guys I've ever met. Well, I kind of just notice, you know, yeah, they're funny things at the station, but like, they're little tips too. And I have some that are probably inappropriate and gross, like what parts of your body to wash first when you go in the shower, because you can always wash your hair in the sink. The other parts you can't, you know, and like telling the guys to always, you know, trust me, in the summer months, keep a thing of baby powder in your locker, you know, stuff like that, you know, that I probably wouldn't put in an article maybe, but that's really where a lot of this started. And like, you know, where to put your gear so you don't, you know, if you take it off the truck, don't set it in your locker because you're going to take off to do an inspection somewhere and you're not going to have your gear. And like, you know, just helping them out. You know, I know a lot of guys ask me, where do you put your gloves in your gear? I said, whatever works for you, you know, like just, but you can help them too. And so like when it comes to like mentorship is along the lines of the more serious things, I kind of, you know, Andy's pretty good at that. He has patience. He knows more than me. Now, day-to-day stuff around the station, yeah, sure. This is how I clean the toilets. Do it however you want, but this is the best way to do it. And I'll tell you this, your captain likes it done this way. Like, those are little things that, you know, you might have a captain that's not, he's not going to be like, I want you to do this way, you know, the day-to-day stuff. Where a guy like me, I've worked with my captain for 10 years, we get a new guy on our ship, be like, this is how our guy likes it done. So save yourself, you know, anything. Not that he's mean or anything, but it just makes everything easier. And the ultimate goal is I bartend part-time. And I tell you what, when you work with three or four people that you get along with, everything goes better. And I think that goes with any other career or any other job. But I think that this is just something that could help guys.
I think you guys are really onto something here. And Andy kind of mentioned it with thanks for throwing the high reliability organizing out there. But that's what I guess I hear from this and is that you're setting a person up for success. And so that's going to help them throughout their career, keep them safer, help them get along better. They're going to enjoy the job more. But it's also going to help set them up for promotional processes better too, because they're going to be more successful at a lot of those things. And it's one of those things where we kind of, I think in the past, sometimes looked at it like, well, you just get it or you don't get it. And some guys just don't get it. Well, we can teach them that stuff. Then you teach them the stuff they don't get. And teach them how to read people. I think this ties in heavily to emotional intelligence too, which we see that kind of getting bigger and bigger all the time. That being a key to a person's success, no matter what you're involved with, is that emotional intelligence, interacting with people. And this is really, it's like you said, you got fire one and two where you're learning technical skills. This is that, well, now how do you use those skills around other people? And how do you live around other people in close quarters? I think you've got something big here.
Well, I think that's the term I've heard used is soft skills. And that's huge. And I know, actually I was talking about this with a good buddy of mine, and he was saying that Google, they used to, when they were hiring people, they used to just go out, you need to have a degree in this from this type of college, blah, blah, blah. They found out that didn't work. And now I don't know exactly if this is 100% true, but they've changed the way that they've hired people and what they look for. And they look for soft skills. We don't care if you went to Bismarck State College or Harvard. Can you get along with people? Like, are you likable? Like, can you adapt to, you know, different scenarios? Where a lot of that is, I think some people say it's not teachable, but I think it is. Like, it's not like, you know, say know your role at the fire station. No, understand the, how would you say, maybe the hierarchy or the dynamics of the fire station. And every shift's different. So I just think that's kind of gotten kicked to the curb a little bit.
So, well, and I, go ahead. And I think the other part of it is too, like when you work in a job like ours, there's a disconnect between when you make a decision like tactically on the fire ground and when you realize the results of that decision are right or wrong, right? So some jobs like working on an assembly line, or maybe it is an accountant, those are really tightly put together. You immediately know, whoops, that doesn't balance out in that spreadsheet. But public safety, fire, military, aviation, we tend to have that gap between those two. So what that means is that, well, you can teach guys a lot of science in school, and you can teach them how to do all the different skills. You can teach them, like, the rules for how the department operates. You can run them through how to do all the strategies and tactics, how to use all the equipment. But we all know that that person that graduates from that probationary academy and hits the apparatus floor, they don't really know how to operate independently at all. And it's not by their fault. It's just that what they're missing is the art. They've got the science, but they don't know how to apply that in different situations. And so on the fire ground, we got to do that with training and everything else to try to give them those experience pieces so they understand it. But I think in the station, instead of just dooming people to make the same mistakes and end up where we had the attitude of they either get it or don't get it, and the people that don't get it, they wash out. Some of those people might have been really good firefighters if we would have just had an opportunity for them to get through that awkward phase where they were trying to apply that science that they learned and they just kind of quite hadn't figured it out yet. And I were sharing stories and help people outcomes, and we're able to maybe speed that process up and make a better team faster.
Andy, quick question. Has this been simply an informal program that you guys have been working on, or have you guys gotten it to a more formalized state or some type of documentation or procedure? How's it kind of working for you guys along those lines?
So it's brand new. So right now we've got the, like I said, we've got the social media piece, and we're doing some podcast work and stuff in the articles, but we're really trying to come up with a way to go out and teach this and have people have something that they get from the class, like some kind of a deliverable, whether it's like a checklist type thing or something. I think there's a good opportunity to go out and have this conversation a lot of places. So,
yeah, I was thinking of a couple situations, just personal experience, our own department, where, yeah, this could certainly apply. And there have been issues that have happened from not doing something like this.
Well, and Jeff, that's one of the things, like, we want people to interact on that, on Instagram or on the article comments and stuff. You know, this is really a great opportunity for people to kind of crowdsource this too. We love to hear stories because we've already had people reach out to us, both in comments, or guys have hit up Matt or I and been like, hey, I got a great idea for you guys for Firefighter 3. Because everybody's had, it's funny when you talk about some of the stories, we've shared them all. Because I mean, I brought up putting things on bumpers, and I've got a really sad story about a radio that involves bumpers, and like everybody at the station's like, oh yeah, I lost a coffee mug that way. And then immediately, like, one of the first times we started talking with Ben about working together, we sent him the list, and Ben's like, I got a great story about a time in Fargo where an officer had to, or a company officer fought a fire with a driver's helmet the whole time. Because so it's like, we've all done these things, you know. And so I think that's one of the big things, like, We share so much experience, and we have so many things happen to all of us that we kind of know how these things happen, and we know what can go wrong in a lot of situations. So if we do a good job of sharing it, we're not all having to make those same mistakes, and it goes back to near-miss reporting and everything else. But this is an approachable way for people to start thinking about that, rather than putting them in a class and being like, we're going to teach you about high reliability organizing today, you know, and somebody knew you might lose them. But this way, that's getting in their head, and it's a thought process, to kind of a way to operate right from the beginning.
Well, one of my, it's actually not my favorite story because it's kind of embarrassing to me. But, you know, we always say, we tell new guys, if you're on a fire ground and you don't know how to do something, say it. Yep. Don't try and do something. Well, my first day or second day, I can't remember what it was, but.
And I didn't order for like the first 10, so it doesn't.
Yeah. So I'm kind of just, you know, hanging back, and I kind of knew a couple of the guys, but I'm hanging back, and I didn't know this about the Mandan Fire Department, and now I always joke about it, is that you got to be a firefighter, a janitor, a secretary, a diesel mechanic, a HVAC guy, a plumber, an electrician. Like, I don't know how to do any of it. So, like, one of my first days, we're like, well, we got to go up on the roof and look at this rooftop vent. I got my captain, I got one of the retired chiefs, John Girding, I got my fire chief all hovering over me, and they say, Hennessy, take this wrench or this ratchet wrench and go over there and pull that cover off. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. And I'm freezing. It was February. I can't do it. And they're like, don't you know how to do this? And I'm like, no, I don't know how to do this. Why would I know how to do this? I'm not, you know, I I grew up in a city. I'm not a farm kid, you know, but it's the same exact principle. And kind of my point of that is if you don't know how to do something, say it. And more importantly, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Because these guys are going to bust your balls about it. I still get made fun of it to this day, and it was over a decade ago. But, you know, and I think it's the things on the fire ground and at the station, they both kind of go hand in hand. Like, but I didn't tell them, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, well, I'll just wing it. I don't know what I'm doing up there. And then, of course, I don't, you know, they still jokingly, when they tell me to go run and get a screwdriver, they tell me either the plus or the minus. Like, that's. So, but I laughed. I just, yeah, well, that's what happens. But you can't take yourself too seriously. And I think that goes with anything in life, really. But
very nice.
Yeah. Thank you for that, guys. Thank you.
The funny part is,
I was like shaking. If we talk about this stuff like this, and like I said, if somebody can look at a list like from the article and laugh about it and joke around, two things happen. One, the new person's put at ease, and they're learning what to do and what not to do. And two, maybe it reminds the rest have some years. You know, we were all there once.
It's easy to flashbacks. I know that person with the helmet story real well.
It's a humbling thing to think about that. Like, oh, I remember that day. I didn't know how to do this or that, you know.
I still couldn't do it.
It's all right to be embarrassed too, Matt. Craig actually has a nickname for me from an EMS call that he wasn't even on. And we're not going to share it on air, but...
Can we put it in the show notes?
I think Poopy Hands is clean enough for this show.
Yeah. Code Brown. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. No, that's what I think is so exciting about this is it hits all the levels that I was just going to, as I was looking through your article before, I was looking for it now, I found it again. The one I was thinking about is the seek out the smell. And it's kind of one of those where it's kind of talking toward the station, but really it's also looking at when you're out on a call, whether it be an electrical smell or whatever it is, that you follow that up. And I guess one of our old assistant chiefs, I love this saying because he always had, you'd come back to him and you'd go, okay, yep, everything's good here. And he'd go, are you willing to bet your job on it? And it kind of made you think. Because from his perspective...
Okay, never mind. I'm going to go check one more time.
Exactly. From his perspective, he's going, well, if you screw this up, it's my job, and maybe yours too. And as a firefighter, I was never thinking that. I was like, all right, hurry up and get it done. And it's that, no, do it and do it right and be thorough. And I think of that like with carbon monoxide, especially here this last week or so and going into the next week here, carbon monoxide calls... My God, those scare me because that's the one that you could go on. And if you miss something, the next day you're reading about it in the paper and they're going, yeah, the fire department was here. And those electrical ones that, my gosh, I will call every damn truck out of bed and make sure they get up and get there. We looked that place over so clearly. But that's one of them on there is seek out the smell. And that goes for the station and the rotting meat or whatever. You've got something going bad in the fridge. But it also goes toward the call, so it covers everything. I didn't mean to kind of just end it like that.
No, you're good.
Say, Matt, I'm just wondering. We've told stories around the dining room table forever out at our station too, and every so often somebody will say we should be writing this stuff down. We never write any of this stuff down. Have you guys started writing some of these things down, or at least? Like naming the stories or starting to write bullet points about the stories and what they tell when you've been doing this? Or is it so fresh that you're not quite there yet either?
Well, this is, it's fresh in the sense that, you know, Andy kind of took it over and he's like, no, I'm serious. Like we have to write these down. And then Andy kind of took it over. Cause I was always just like, nah, it's just like my stupid sense of humor. And Andy kind of just kept pushing and pushing. Then he started a note on our iPhones where if you think of something, you write it in there. We all shared Ben's on it too. And it just grew and grew and grew. And I've had so many of them over the years that it's hard to, you know, think of all the stories you've told with your guys around the table, like try and sit down and write them all down. Well, this way, when I'm walking by something, like, I keep one right now. Like, we've been doing it for so long, but it's like, you know, the bumper thing. You know, I see some, I left a video on the bumper actually like last month, and I sent a picture of it to Andy and Ben, but it's something like that that triggers you. I grab my phone and I put it in the notes, then it's saved. And that's kind of how it's, you know, and like dryer sheets. I know that's one of them. Like on our shift, like somebody always has dryer sheets. Like, I'll get the next box. You know, it's little stupid things like that. When you're buying stuff for your house, grab an extra box of dryer sheets and just throw them in. Not even just your shift, like, here, there's dryer sheets. If anybody needs them, use them. I know you guys will pay me back. It just shows that, like, we're all here. You know, not to get corny, but we're all on the same team here. Like, we're living here. If you need a dryer sheet, I can spare it. You know, and it's like, I like Ben's one about the Tupperware because that is so true.
Except we were told in the last podcast we're supposed to say plastic containers. Tupperware actually sent a letter out. Yeah. To Fire Rescue
a cease and desist letter.
Seriously?
Really? To take down Tupperware.
No way. Wow.
Yeah. Matt touched on a really cool point there. The fun part of this, and like he said, forgot a radio on the bumper and sent a picture out to all of us. And Matt and Andy and I have all done this here in the last couple of months. Like, we noticed something on the list that we made a mistake at, and snap a quick picture of it, send it to the group. It's a great way to, it's kind of a near miss, you know, like, hey, look at what I did, guys. I'm stupid. I made this mistake. Even though we put this list out there, we don't know everything. So,
well, can I say something to that, Ben? Is that
absolutely.
There's not a single thing on that list that I haven't done.
Right.
Like, I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm like, this is how it's done. Like, I've seen guys do this. I know a guy that did this. No, I personally have done this. That's kind of my point. Like, we've all done it.
You guys have kind of, you mentioned a couple times here, near miss. And I think that's one of the big things that we need to get near miss going to the level it needs to be at, or it should be at, is people need to be comfortable admitting their mistakes. And if we build that culture, especially starting early on, then people will be comfortable with it. And they'll understand that, okay, if I report a mistake I made, then that might help somebody else from making it and could help them from getting hurt or injured or worse. So it plays to many levels.
Well, and Craig, when you think about it, another thing that plays in here that I've always worked on with like high reliable organizing and like performance with people is you can take five people that have the exact same number of years within an organization, and they likely have five vastly different levels of experience, just randomly, whether their shift got fires or what they were doing on the fire, whether they were first due or a pump operator or just how it all shook out. So, like, even our people, like, when we look at promotion, like, you have to have X amount of years to test for this, that pool of people isn't equal. But we can help make it equal by sharing stories about stuff that happened and being good with that, because then other people are listening to those stories. And as long as we remain emotionally attached to it when we listen to it, it's going to be almost like we experienced it. So now you're bringing everybody up to another level, you know.
Yeah, you're kind of building that, not to go off on a tangent here, but you're getting into the RPDM of this and starting to build that slideshow. The coffee mug, you show them a picture of it, you tell them a story, they're going to set it down, and in the back of their mind something will tell them, nope, don't set it down there.
Yep, 100%.
I just am having flashbacks of all the stupid things I've done over the years. There's a pretty darn long list.
I might need counseling after tonight. I mean, like Matt said, no one's immune, you know.
Well, and it's another thing too. It, going back to, if you don't know how to do something, ask. Well, your first day, you could walk in and at lunch just be the first one to be like, all right, fellas, I know how it goes. Who sits where? You know, like, but a lot of people aren't outgoing enough to do that. You know, they're nervous on their first day, but there is that. Like, if you don't know how to run a tool, you ask. If you don't know, you know, who sleeps in what bed or whatever, ask. And they'll tell you. And I guarantee you, after your first week working with your shift, they're like, nah, this dude, he's a cool dude. Like, I like him. He's easy going. He doesn't step on anything. You know, he gets it, you know, you could say. Or he seems like he gets it. How do you tell after the first week? But I think that just lightens everything up.
makes me think of one of our firefighters when he was a new recruit. He's a great firefighter, but he had a K-12 saw and didn't have the blade on real good, and he was outside in our back training area. The blade, he got it spinning up, and it came off, and it went right across the concrete and hit one of our storage garages. Hit one of those where, okay, nobody got hurt. No. But, so it's funny to look back on now. But again, those little things that, okay, it's all right. You made a mistake. We can fix this. We can teach you. Let's own up to it and keep somebody else from doing it in the next class.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we just had one recently where I'm not going to name names, but like one of the shifts went out. It was nice out, and they went out and did some pump training. And I think is what happened is when they did it on like a Tuesday, and we always check our main engines out on Wednesday as well. They didn't shut the master or the, I'm drawing a blank here, the
deck gun.
The deck gun. Sorry, yeah. I got nervous, but, it's 8, 10 years. I still don't even know it's called the deck gun, but they didn't shut the valve all the way. And so, you know, the guy that's like, well, I'm going to go check out the truck. He puts it into pump gear, and it was just a blast of water in the engine bay. And, oh, well. And I know who did it. But honestly, like, in my years, I've seen that happen a couple times.
Right.
So, like, it's all these things, like, we haven't figured out new ways to make mistakes in a long time. And so, like, it's the way we kind of broke things into the families, like within the Firefighter 3 article in Fire Rescue 1, is that's kind of the categories, you know? And so if we can help people out in some of these things, we're probably not going to have to find a bunch of new categories. We've all done the same dumb things over and over again, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, any parting words of wisdom you would give people who are listening to the podcast right now, besides checking out your Instagram page that you want to add before we kind of wrap things up?
Yeah. Where should they go to find the stuff that you have? And if they have things they want to contribute, where should they go?
Yeah, for sure. So throw some comments on the Instagram. And then if you go to Fire Rescue 1, if you search for Firefighter 3, there's actually a section now. Ben's article's on there. The original article is on there. And people can actually download a formatted list of all of them with some pictures. So it's a great thing to hang up in the station. It's a great thing to hand to somebody on the shift and say, hey, go show this to the new guy, see what he thinks. And maybe it's a way to break that ice and start talking about these things. And, you know, maybe we keep a firefighter that's going to end up being a great asset to the department, comfortable, and get them integrated into their shift and into their team a little bit faster. So
the other ask we would make is we want this to be a living document. We want it to be dynamic. Yeah. So on our Instagram page, or even in the comments with the articles online, add your stories. Tell us your stories. We want to hear them. We want to learn from them. We want to be able to say, yeah, we did that too, and find a way to incorporate it into the lessons that we're trying to present.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I would love to hear more stories, and because I find them funny, because I always tell my wife, she'll come home from work and just, you know, pissed off about work, and I'll be laughing. She's like, why are you laughing? I said, because it's just funny to me. Like, I find everything funny. Like, you know, not everything is funny, but, you know, and I think that a lot of times, you know, you read magazines or articles about firefighting. Yeah, it's a serious job, but there's nowhere to, like, share the stories that are like, really funny. And there is some funny stories out there. And I mean, this could go, I'm sure you could do the same thing with police officers and paramedics and, you know, everything, any job. And, you know, it'd be nice if there was a forum or somewhere for guys to tell these stories. Cause me personally, the way I am, I'd rather read a bunch of little funny day-to-day station stories or how some guy did something so stupid. It doesn't have to be a new guy. Somebody did something so stupid, but it was so funny. They don't hear, you know, they still hear about it to this day. I'd rather read that kind of stuff than, you know, a 6 or 7 page article on hazardous materials. That's Andy's job. I don't read that stuff.
So we did today. I was my training all day today.
I had 6 cups of coffee during it.
All right, guys. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight and sharing the idea. It's fantastic. I haven't laughed this much in a show for quite a while on a topic that's really helpful and useful at the same time, too. So hats off to you guys for the work that you're doing and what you're putting out there for everybody. I encourage everybody who's listening to jump in and participate, like we've said. And with that, Craig. Yeah.
Everybody have a good night. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you a few weeks down the road. Good night.
And we thank you so much for helping us get the word out on this and including us tonight. So,
all right. Very good. Check out the show notes if you have a chance. Check out FDIC, the tagline we always throw out there. And come back for another edition of Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Tailboard Talk. Don't forget to tune in each week, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific, for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. You can also subscribe to all of our shows on iTunes. Just search for Fire Engineering Talk Radio. Check out our educational programs and consultation services. They're all available at tailboardconsulting.com. There you can find links to all of our shows and our magazine articles. Thanks for listening, and join us again next month for another episode of Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
The end.
Boom. All right.
Can I swear now?
I don't say anything.
You can swear now,
no,
Matt.
Jeff hasn't shut the recorder off. He plays little games, and then he tries to get you.
So we're still on the record here. So
he didn't hit the button yet.
Nah,
so.
I'm kidding. I'll wash my mouth.